You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is on Monday the 12th of December 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I want to look at things that racism is being blamed for, and this is because the Lancet Medical Journal has chosen to publish four or five articles based on accusations of racism being the cause of different medical and health outcomes for different ethnicities. And you can say by looking at the national health system, well, how is that racist in any way? It has non-white doctors, non-white nurses, and a lot of the patients are non-white, and nobody is saying to the non-white patients, we're not going to treat you because we don't like the colour of your skin. So quite clearly, there has to be a different definition of racism that the paper's authors are going along with. And basically, they say racism is an organised system that affords power and privilege according to an established hierarchy based on racial categories. So nothing to do with hating people for the colour of the skin. Racism is now a system. It's a system itself that has a hierarchy. And of course, there are hierarchies throughout nature. You have to have hierarchies in order for society to function. But they're saying it's a hierarchy that's based on racial categories. And of course, you'll say, well, there's no hierarchy based on racial categories. There's no exclusion for people who are non-white from being a part of the government, for instance, and you could say that that is at the top of the hierarchy. So what they're saying here, the established hierarchy is based on racial categories. They don't mean that non-white people are being excluded. They mean that the hierarchy is already full of white people and it should be filled with black people. Why isn't it filled with black people? Because black people have only been in Britain for the last 70 years. But the accusation they're making is that it should be filled with black people and it should be filled with non-whites. And if it isn't, then obviously it's racist. And of course, the government does have blacks and non-whites in it, but the government itself is still going to be accused of racism. They continue saying racism operates to protect the rights, power and livelihoods of those at the top of the hierarchy. And obviously, again, they're implying there that at the top of the hierarchy is white people. How are white people's livelihoods being protected when we're being displaced in our own countries by other ethnicities that come in and do the jobs that we were doing before that? I mean, all these people that come over here and they say, and the government says, well, they're good for the economy. They start up businesses. They're starting up businesses where there were white businesses before, aren't they? It's not as if white people aren't capable of setting up and running our own businesses. The people that come over here, they may generate jobs, but if they weren't here, then it would be white people that were generating the jobs for white people. So the livelihoods of white people are not being protected. The rights and power of white people are certainly not being protected by our hierarchy. We no longer have the right to free association. We have that taken away from us. We have to be multicultural. We have to include everyone. We cannot exclude anyone. So that is the right to freedom of association that has been taken away. The right to freedom of speech has been taken away. We have to be very careful in the way that we talk about certain government policies, or very careful in the way that we talk about certain minorities, whereas before we had a right to free speech and it wasn't impinged upon in any way. So the hierarchy and those at the top of the hierarchy have not protected white rights and white livelihoods, yet, according to the Lancet, they have. They continue, based on the model of Nazarou and colleagues, we subcategorize racism into interpersonal, institutional, and structural. Interpersonal racism occurs between individuals, so that could be somebody making a joke based on somebody else's perceived foreignness. Institutional racism occurs where institutional policies and practices result in discrimination based on race. And they don't mean based on race, of course, because there are no institutes or institutional structures that exclude people based upon race. What they mean here is when there are different outcomes, when we look at statistics, that can only be caused by institutional racism. So when they say, well, we don't have very many black doctors and black professors, instead of saying, well, that could be because blacks have a lower average IQ, so there will be less of them that are able to function as professors and doctors. Instead of that, they will look at those statistics and say, well, that must be because of racism, because everybody is the same. Everybody is a blank slate at birth. And if the other races are not as good at doing things as whites, then that cannot be the truth of the matter. It must be that whites have been racist towards them. So that's this institutional racism. Structural racism is at the core of other forms of racism, describing the macro level processes and systems that maintain and perpetuate racial inequity. So that means the whole system, basically, because the whole system doesn't seem to have equalized everything, does it? And that seems to be the name of the game now. We have to equalize everything. We have to have equal life outcomes for every group, regardless of if those groups happen to have any differences. It's like we're just ignoring the reality of the world around us. We're ignoring the differences that there are between us. So they've literally changed the definition of the word racism in order to say that medicine is now racism. The once respectable Lancet Medical Journal has once again taken a deep dive into woke politics, publishing an entire series on racism, xenophobia, discrimination, and health. And of course you would say, well, what is racism and xenophobia? What does it have to do with health? And it's basically because there are different health outcomes. Black people, for instance, are more susceptible to prostate cancer. White people, I think, are more susceptible to cystic fibrosis. Black people tend to get sickle cell anemia, and you don't tend to see that in white people. And of course, that means that there are going to be different statistics regarding those diseases. But we can't have that, can we? It has to be white racists that are responsible for the fact that more black people end up with prostate cancer. It must be because white people are refusing to screen enough black people. It must be because white people are not making enough adverts to make black people aware of prostate cancer. These are the sort of things that they're concentrating on. And also things such as housing. And they're saying that because black people tend to live in poorer housing, that is somehow white people's fault. The fact is that they tend to live in cheaper housing, or they tend to live in council houses, and not everybody can get a council house. Council houses are very hard to get hold of, but you do tend to see a lot of non-whites that are put in these council houses, particularly ones that have spent a long time in hotels. And you also tend to see people just taking whatever house they can be given because they're fed up of living in bedsits and all the rest of it. And this isn't something that just affects non-whites. This affects everybody. White people tend to go out and try to improve things, though, and try to find somewhere better in which to live, whereas non-whites may not have the ability to do that. They may not speak English so well, for instance. So they may end up in poorer housing. It's not because the people that are paying out the housing benefit, for instance, are saying we're only going to pay you the housing benefit if you go into this cheap place here. That's not the reason for it. And yet that is the accusation that is being made. They also tend to have more people living together in one room, for instance, particularly non-whites, Muslims, maybe a lot of Muslims all living in one house together, for instance, sharing two, three, four people to a bedroom, which is obviously not the best way to live. But again, that's a choice that is down to the people that are living there. And why should white people be blamed for this? Why should we be blamed that we're not improving the housing of people that have come here from the other side of the world? If you look at the housing in Africa or in the Caribbean, it's shanty towns. It's housing that is far worse than any housing that exists in Britain. Yet we have the Lancet here, which is even bringing that up. And instead of saying, well, it's because they live in different housing, they're saying, oh, the environment is worse for black people. They end up catching asthma. They end up with air pollution. And another reason for that is because they like living in the cities. They don't want to live in the rural areas where there aren't any work and where there are very few black people. They want to live in the urban areas, which, of course, is by the roads. So it's the choice of black people to live where they live. Yet, according to the Lancet, that's racism. It's racism that's harming them there and that is forcing them to want to live in these cities. Racism, xenophobia and discrimination exist in every modern society, causing avoidable disease and premature death among groups who are often already disadvantaged. The Lancet contends in this latest issue. Who would have thought that racism was causing diseases and premature deaths? And this is the sort of sensational language that they're using for this, that anybody who has any common sense just looks at that and thinks, what on earth are they talking about? How can disliking the colour of somebody's skin cause avoidable disease and premature death? Well, it doesn't, of course. It goes back to this new definition of racism that they have, which basically means anything measurable out of people to do with people's lives that is different in one group than another group, then that must be racism. Anything that comes from a hierarchy must be racism. And of course, hierarchies exist throughout society, throughout nature as well. You have to have hierarchies. You have to have somebody giving the orders and some people taking the orders. And the people that are given the orders, you want them to be the most intelligent and the most capable people, which means the most qualified people. And again, you're not going to have many people from some of these other ethnic groups in that bracket with the qualifications to be at the top, just simply because there are going to be far fewer of them that are capable of doing that than there are in some of these other groups who have a higher average IQ, for instance. The series of articles examines how the historic systems and structures of power and oppression and discriminatory ideologies have shaped policy and practice today and are root causes of racial health inequities, the journal states in its executive summary. So racial health inequities, different health outcomes that could be caused by all sorts of different things, but they just will not contemplate the fact that there could be other reasons for there being differences in health outcomes than racism. And they have to bring in this historic systems and structures of power and oppression. I mean, who was it that developed medicine? Well, it was white people that developed medicine. So again, they will look at that and they will say, well, this is a structure of power and oppression because it's full of white people. Medical history is full of white people. Therefore, it's discriminatory because it doesn't have blacks and non-whites in it, this historic system. So the medical world wasn't set up for non-whites and blacks. It was set up to deal with white people and to look after white people, and therefore it's racist. That's this logic. You know, nobody seems to ask, well, why didn't non-whites create their own medical system then? Why didn't Africans create their own medical system? Why is it that white people are expected to do everything for everybody else? And when we develop something and we develop it for ourselves and we share it with everybody else, why is it we then get blamed for not creating it so that it functions well for them in the first place? Why is it that we're being expected to think of everything for everyone else instead of concentrating on ourselves. In this latest manifestation of the Lancet's love embrace of political correctness, it continues its years-old quest to become a flagship for LGBT activism, pro-abortion lobbying, pro-immigration agitation, anti-white rhetoric, and what it has unapologetically called its progressive agenda. You would imagine that a medical journal like The Lancet would try not to be political and would just want to deal with the facts. But no, they want to be known for promoting LGBT activism. They want to be known for promoting abortion. I mean, just imagine a doctor from 50 years ago looking at what The Lancet is like today and being absolutely scandalized. I mean, what does a medical journal have to do with pro-immigration agitation? Why should they be calling for more immigration into the country? Doesn't that mean that it's going to be more difficult? Doesn't that mean that more resources are going to be stretched? There's going to be less chances for people to actually get to see a doctor, less chances for the medicine to actually work because you haven't got enough of it to actually go around. I mean, it's like they think that we just have this magic porridge pot or something that we can just keep reaching into and all the resources keep coming out. It's just a never-ending stream of resources that are created by white people. I mean, they call this a progressive agenda, but where is it supposed to be progressing to? Getting us all into debt, is that what we're supposed to be progressing to? A progressively higher and higher debt mountain? It seems like regression is what we're doing rather than progressing. One of the articles in the December 9 issue explores how racism, xenophobia, discrimination and the structures that support them are detrimental to health. And again, all these structures, medicine itself, education, all the things that actually make up Western civilization are structures that perpetuate racism, according to this ideology. And they're quite open about saying that critical race theory is where this comes from, which is basically just criticizing one race in particular, the white race, and blaming them for the fact that there are differences in outcomes between different ethnic minorities. They say, we focus on the core structural factors of separation and hierarchical power that permeate society and result in the negative health consequences we see, the authors state, while decrying populist leaders who push the politics of hate and exploit racism, xenophobia, and other forms of discrimination to divide and control populations. Shouldn't they really be supportive of attempts to prevent people from coming into the country that might have tropical diseases, foreign exotic diseases that are going to be difficult to get control over, going to be difficult to treat with antibiotics? Since these are doctors, shouldn't they be more careful about that sort of thing? But no, they are attacking so-called populist leaders for trying to be careful about who comes into the country. I mean, at the moment, we've got a problem with Streptococcus A, I think it is called, this disease that it looks like has been brought into the country by fake asylum seekers, and it's now working its way through the schools, and children have got it, and it's not a natural disease that you would normally find in Britain. It's something that's been brought over by these fake refugees. And what they're saying here is that anybody who talks about that, who says that this is a disease that's come in from out of this country, then they're being xenophobic and they're being populist. As if populism is a bad thing. As if it's a bad thing to be popular. I mean, the whole point of democracy is that it's the popular vote. It's the popular will of the people, isn't it? It is whatever is most popular is going to get the most votes. So populism and democracy essentially mean the same thing. That is, of course, unless you have this new definition of democracy, which means the promotion of LGBT and open borders. The article goes on to condemn structural racism as a determinant of health, as well as environmental racism, whereby minoritized communities are more likely than non-minoritized groups to be exposed to environmental hazards as a result of where they end up having to live. This minoritized phrase is quite an interesting one because they don't seem to like this anymore, but surely when they were being referred to as ethnic minorities, it meant people were identifying them as a minority and saying, well, there needs to be special treatment for them because they are a minority. It might be difficult for them to compete against the majority. And that's why all these laws were brought in, to prevent discrimination. It was through identifying these people as an ethnic minority. And now they're saying that, oh, no, we can't have this. Being minoritized is like being racialized. So I looked up what minoritized means, and they say minoritized is defined as individuals and populations, including numerical majorities, whose collective, cultural, economic, political, and social power has been eroded through the targeting of identity. So they're saying even though they're the numerical majority, of course, now we're being told we should refer to them as the global majority, which of course highlights the fact that white people are a minority. It's whites that are the minority that should be given these special minority rights, not the ethnic minorities who are the global majority. But they claim that because we are referring to them as a minority, it's stripping away their power, stripping away their social power. Well, what social power did non-whites have in Britain over 70 years ago when Britain was 99.9% white? They didn't have any social power. So any social power that they have, any cultural, economic, political, and social power that they have is obviously an increase on what they had over 70 years ago, which was none. They had none of that because we didn't have any of them here. So all the power that they now have has actually increased with their numbers. The fact we call them an ethnic minority hasn't reduced the amount of influence and power they have. It's increased the amount of influence and power they have. I mean, it really just goes to show that no matter what you do for these people, it will never be enough. They will always want more. And that's the problem with multiculturalism. You always end up thinking that the other group have got more than you. And the only way to solve it is to do away with multiculturalism. And it doesn't matter how many papers like this that you bring out identifying structural racism and blaming racism in the health system for the fact that there are these different outcomes. Give it another 20 years and they'll still be blaming white people for everything. They'll have put loads of things in place to try and compensate for this, and we'll still have all these differences in life outcomes, and they'll still be blaming white people for it. And if you ask non-whites today, is it more racist today, or was it more racist 30 years ago? They'll all say, oh, it was more racist today. If you ask the Jews, is there more anti-Semitism today? They'll all say, oh, yes, there's more anti-Semitism today. So all these projects and policies that we put in place to deal with anti-Semitism and racism, they haven't succeeded, have they? And that's because it doesn't matter what you do. It will never be enough. Getting back to what we have here in this article here that's talking about The Lancet, this structural racism that they're referring to is rooted in legacies of colonialism and exploitation, and especially affects migrant groups and indigenous populations. So there's a structural racism here. This, and I'm not quite sure what the structural racism is. I think the Conservative Party did an investigation into racism to see if there was any such a thing as institutional racism in Britain, which is the same as structural racism. And they said, no, there isn't. There are different reasons for the fact that there are different life outcomes for different ethnic groups. I mean, this just seems like they're not happy that white people had the power and the technology and the strength to actually go out and colonize other countries and build centers of civilization in other countries. I mean, this accusation of that it's structural racism, and it's just resentment, isn't it? It's just people that resent the fact that they weren't able to do this. I mean, he talks about exploitation, claiming that white people were exploiting people in Africa. Well, what about the black slaves then and the African chiefs? Were they not being exploited? Were they not exploiting one another? I mean, it's not like white people went over there and hunted down black people and put them on slave ships. White people went over there and purchased black slaves from the black African chiefs. They were the ones that went out and captured them. You don't get much more exploitative than that. Yet we're being asked to believe that it's only white people that have a legacy of exploitation. The essay goes on to declare that ideologies of racism have been central to the formation of nation states and concepts of citizenship. And of course, the idea of you being one group that is different to all the other groups, yes, that is at the centre of all nation states. It's not just at the centre of white nation states. It's at the centre of the nation state of the Congo, of Rwanda. Any country, you will find that there is a predominant ethnic group. There is a majority ethnic group that is in that country, and they are the ones responsible for building the country and looking out for the best needs of the ethnic group. And you start with a family, then you move to a clan, a tribe, a nation, and then you get a nation state. I mean, we have nations that don't actually have states of their own, like the Kurds, and they live partially in Syria, partially in Iraq, partially in Turkey, and they don't actually have a Kurdistan. And that's an example of a nation that doesn't actually have a nation state. Would they say that it was racism that led to the formation of the Kurds? I dare say they'll probably say that it was racism that led to the Middle East being carved up on a map in the way that it was, because it was white people that did that. Why was it white people that did that? Well, because white people were in the position to do that, because we were at the top of the world, because militarily we couldn't be beaten. That's why we were deciding these things, and we were deciding them in the way that we thought was best at the time. Some of the lines that we put on a map really weren't that well thought out, but we had to divide the world up into these manageable chunks so that the people that lay there living in that manageable chunk could then have the right to self-determination. I mean, that's what it says in the United Nations Charter. People should have the right to self-determination. And what they're saying here is it's an ideology of racism that causes that. The formation of the nation state, it's down to racism. I wonder what they're suggesting we should have instead. And then they're saying these concepts of citizenship. Well, what they've done today is they've done away with the need to be of one ethnicity to actually have your citizenship. And we have multiple ethnic groups all claiming to be the citizenship of one country, which effectively just destroys the identity of the people who built that country. In North America and South America, for example, they say, settler colonialism resulted in the genocide of indigenous people and the theft of their land. So it was their land, was it? We didn't fight them for it. I mean, isn't it a tradition throughout history that people have fought over a land and the loser ends up giving up their land to the victor? I mean, we used to have a concept of death or slavery, and that's what we would fight to. We would either fight to the death or you would be enslaved. So at the end of the battle, you could fall on your sword, which would be the honourable thing, or you could go on to be a slave, and whoever it was that won the battle, they won the territory. And that's what went on in America. We fought the indigenous people for the right to the resources of the land, and instead of wiping them out and carrying out a genocide, as it says here, we actually gave them reservations that they could live on. We gave them land, and we taught them an education, taught them how to read and write, and we allowed them access into our civilization. But of course, that doesn't give an explanation for why the indigenous people don't have such a good life outcome as the whites. And of course, it's because they're a different people. If you look at what America was like before white people were there, they didn't have a civilization there, did they? They did not have the ability to build 20th century civilization. So when you put them in the middle of a 20th century civilization, they're not going to do so well as the people that actually built that civilization, are they? Because it's not going to come naturally to them. They continue saying fundamental to the process of colonization is the concept of racial capitalism. Racial capitalism is an exploitative process during which economic and social value is extracted on the basis of the racial identity of a person. So what they mean here is when we would go to a country, like say we would go to Africa, you would see that there were diamonds there or that there was gold there, and then they'd employ the locals to dig in the mine and extract the gold and extract the diamonds. And of course, the people doing the digging, they would be paid for that. But what they're making an accusation of here is they're saying, well, this is racism. This is an exploitative process because you're taking away the indigenous people's diamonds or you're taking away the indigenous people's gold. But the fact of the matter is, if it hadn't been white people that went there and taught these people how to mine and brought all the equipment necessary for a mine, they wouldn't have been able to extract it. They certainly weren't extracting it for themselves before white people got there and showed them how to do it. So they're saying here that this is racial capitalism. This is exploiting these people. But again, were they left in a Stone Age state? No, they weren't. In these places where we extracted the oil, the gold and the diamonds, we built civilizations for them. We built transport, we built schools, universities, hospitals, taught them how to read and write, taught them how to run a government, and then left them to run that government. And also we left our private companies there working in these mines. It's not like we just closed the places up and said, there you go, we'll leave you to it now. We helped them out. And yet this is now being accused of racial capitalism and exploitation. While woke progressives can delight in the conversion of the Lancet to their cause, the medical community can only mourn the death of an important voice for science that has now become an echo chamber for misbegotten political ideology. And it should be about science, it should be about medicine, it should be completely above politics. But of course, it isn't. Just like everything nowadays is being harnessed to push this so-called anti-racist message, which is basically just anti-white. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.